Okay, if you've been out here much to the launch, you probably have realized by now that we usually do things a little different. We mix it up. If you have come to expect something from church, you're probably not going to get that here. And this morning, no exception. Maybe you are coming today on Easter Sunday, and you're thinking, yeah, I know how this goes. I'm gonna hear the story of Mary who goes down to the tomb of Jesus. You know, on Friday, Jesus was crucified and died, and Saturday was this down day, and then on Sunday she goes to the tomb, and she gets there and the stone's rolled away, and she runs back to tell, he's not there, he's risen. Well, I preached on that one last year, so mixing it up again this year. We're still going to hit the whole resurrection theme, but we're going to come at it a little differently today. I want to show you a little video clip. This is from my favorite TV show, Lost. I get together with some other Losties in the group on Tuesdays, and we watch and love the show. Okay, one of the main characters in recent years is a guy named Richard. And in this clip, Richard is in prison because he got in an argument with a doctor, and Richard was wrestling with the doctor to get this little vial of medicine. He needed this medicine for his dying wife. And he took all the money they had, but the doctor said it's not enough. So they're wrestling for it, and the doctor slips, and he hits his head on the table, and the doctor dies. And so Richard is in prison for murder. Let's watch this clip. You don't have time. This video clip reminds me of a story out of the Bible. It's the story of the woman at the well. You maybe remember this story. The woman comes to the well at noon, not the normal time to come to the well, but she comes there maybe to avoid when other people are there. And as she comes, you know what? This woman is, in many ways, she's a prisoner herself. She's lived a pretty rough life, made lots and lots of bad choices. That's made her the object of scorn. She's despised by her village. She goes to the well at noon because nobody else will be there to mock her or tease her. She's been into a lot of bad stuff, lived a rough life. Now, instead of standing before the priest, she finds herself at the well, standing in front of Jesus. And instead of her making her confession to Jesus, Jesus tells her what she's done. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. In that moment, had she said, Lord, what do I do to make it right? Jesus might have said, you don't have time. Let me show you what I mean. This is a perfectly good glass of water. You could drink it. It would be refreshing. It's good for you. But let's say that I take this magic vial that may look like food coloring, but is actually poison. The most potent poison ever invented. One drop would kill everyone in this room many times over. So I'm going to add a drop to the water. And I'm going to put the cap back on because this poison does not wash out of things. So now let's say that this glass of water represents you or me. And the drop of poison represents what Calvin called original sin. You know what? We're broken people. We're tainted. We're born that way. If you've had a two-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. This is not about being bad or being evil. It's just kind of part of our nature. You actually can blame your parents for this one. We just are. We're tainted. And you know what? This drop, one drop, will kill you. It's a drop that keeps you from experiencing the life that God has in mind, the life that God intended for you. One drop, it's a lethal drink. So what do? We decide we're going to try to flush out the poison, right? So we we add water. We go to church and we give a little money and maybe we volunteer and we try to be a good person. I mean, you know, we're nice and we don't hurt anybody, at least not on purpose, right? And if we keep doing that long enough and with enough sincerity, I mean, eventually, wouldn't that be enough? No. Because all it takes is one little molecule left in this glass to kill you. You can't flush it out. There's not enough water. You don't have time. Jesus tells the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink and I'd give you living water. Here's our scripture passage this morning. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5. You can follow along on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Did you catch it in there? He gives us new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today is Easter Sunday. This is the day we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The grave couldn't hold Jesus. We don't follow a dead guy. We follow the risen Christ. We worship the living Christ. Today, we celebrate the fact that because Jesus lives, we can live too. We can. Because Jesus lives, he gives us new birth into a living hope. He gives us living water. Here's what happens. When we give our lives to Jesus, the old is gone. And the new has come. The old self has passed away. New birth into a living hope. Oops, sorry. New life. Living water. It's water that gushes out of us in the way we live. It gushes out and is nourishing to others as well. We don't have enough time to take care of that taint by ourselves. We don't need time because Jesus takes care of it for us. Now, here's the thing. We're all so used to living like we're poisoned. We're just used to living like our old selves, even though we've been given this new birth into this living hope. We just kind of keep going back to the old self. We keep going back to those old habits and who we were. My dog apparently can't stomach popcorn. She found 3 little pieces on the floor this weekend. And before you know it, she's out in the backyard yakking. And then what does she do? She eats it again. Gross. But you know what? We're not that different. We keep going back to the old self, our old habits, that half-life, if you will. So this morning, I just want to offer a couple of thoughts on how we live into our new birth. How do we live into what God has already given us? First of all, stop feeling guilty about who you were before or what you did before. I think this plagues most of us in a very subtle way. Maybe we don't really believe that Jesus could be that into us. I mean, he wouldn't really love me if he knew what I had done. Maybe we think, you know, I don't really belong here among all these good people because I just haven't lived that way. Maybe we doubt on some level that Jesus is pleased with us because, frankly, we're not that pleased with ourselves. Stop feeling guilty about who you were before. On the TV show Lost, shortly after being denied forgiveness by the priest, Richard finds himself on this mysterious island, and he meets this man named Jacob, and Jacob tells him, on the island, it doesn't matter who you were before. It doesn't matter who you were before. Friends, because Jesus lives, the old is gone, and the new has come. God forgives completely. Just believe it. Number two, stop trying to earn God's favor. I think this is another one that gets us in subtle ways. We tell ourselves that as long as I do more good than bad, I'll be okay. God will smile on me. Or maybe we think God will bless me, but only as much as I earn it. You ever think that way? I've had people ask me to pray for them, and I've thought, oh, I've been really bad this week. God will never answer this prayer. That's a lie. We don't have to earn God's favor. The priest was partly right on the video. We don't have time. We don't have enough time to do enough good to earn God's favor. But instead of that being bad news, it's actually good news. Because the priest was completely and entirely wrong about forgiveness. No acts of penance are required. We don't have to earn forgiveness. We don't have to earn God's ongoing favor. It is God's free gift to those that follow Jesus. This living hope that we've been given. It means we don't have to earn it. We've been given it, a free gift from God. Every moment of every day, without exception, Jesus loves you desperately and wants nothing more than to show you that love. God favors you just as you are. Just receive it. Finally, don't wait till you die to experience eternal life. Here's what I mean. Salvation is not just something that we get when we die. Christianity, it's not a fire insurance policy. It's not a get out of hell free card. Well, let me ask it this way, and this is a question you can actually answer if you're brave enough. When does eternity end? Anybody? Never. Eternity never ends. But here, you all knew that. Here's the tricky one. When does eternity start? Here's Jesus' own words in John 5. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Has. Present tense. When we believe, when we choose to follow Jesus, eternal life has already started. Our new birth into this living hope, it's about life right now. Following Jesus means more and more learning to live in eternity right now. The early church, they had a word for this. They had a word for this experience of living eternity right now. They called it the way. In fact, the earliest church, they weren't called Christians. They were called people of the way. They were known for their way of life. What attracted people to Jesus wasn't just their message. It was their life, the way they lived. Because people looked at the way they lived and they caught a glimpse of eternity. You know what? The more we get to know Jesus, the more we get shaped like him on the inside. And the more we align our lives with the way of Jesus, the more we start to look like eternal life. You don't have to wait for heaven to start experiencing eternal life. It's yours right now. Here's the thing. Jesus isn't looking for people who will go to heaven when they die. Jesus is looking for people who will bring heaven to earth right now by the way they live. This morning with the sun shining and the birds singing and the trees budding, flowers are poking up through the ground, new life all around us. This morning, Jesus lives. This morning, Jesus is inviting us to life. One thing I have to say, as a pastor, I'd be negligent if I didn't. If you're sitting out there and thinking that your life looks a lot like that first glass of water, maybe you've never trusted Jesus to pour out the old and to give you the new, I want to invite you to do that this morning. It's not hard, but it can be costly. Jesus asks you to follow him in every part of your life. It's a free gift, but you can't earn it. It's just yours for the taking. It's the gift of life, real life, the kind of life God designed you for. And it's the kind of life that we get to keep living with Jesus forever. So if that's you, I want to invite you to pray these words with me, and then please let me know. Let's all pray. God, I need you. My life without you is toxic. I choose to follow you, Jesus. I give you my life, and I receive from you new life, living hope, life with you forever. Help me live every day more and more in the way of Jesus. For all of us, God, help us to receive the fullness and the completeness of your forgiveness, freedom from guilt. God, would you set us free from the burden of feeling like we've got to earn your favor? God, thank you for Jesus who lives. Thank you for Jesus who rose so that we can live. Jesus, would you draw us close to you so that our every step looks more and more like the life you had in mind for us. In the strong name of the living Jesus, we pray. Amen.